You are Locked On Packers, your daily Green Bay Packers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
R-E-L-A-X. Relax. We're going to be okay.
It is time.
I feel like we can run the table. We're going to do it.
You are Locked On Packers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am Peter Bukowski, and I cover the Packers for SB Nation. I cover the NFL around the internet, and you can follow me on Twitter at Peter_Bukowski. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Packers. You can like us on Facebook. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, on Spotify, on Google Podcasts. Wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers, the number one Packers podcast in the state of Wisconsin, and the show for fans who know what happened. They want to know why and how. It is Friday, week three, Denver Broncos week, and the injury report is out, which means we are live on Periscope. If you are not watching, I don't know why you're not watching. You should be watching. So next time, let's watch. We actually got it to work this time. And there's a lot to talk about. This is a great day for the streaming to actually work because there is legitimately big news with the injury report. And it starts at the top with Elgton Jenkins is the new starting left guard. I see you guys with the comments on Periscope. I love it. And this is huge because I felt like if Elgton Jenkins was good enough for the Packers to think he might start or he could start or he is just barely good enough to start and you're going to give him opportunities, you're going to give him those chances to start. Or at least to play as they did against Minnesota, which I was shocked by. I mean, I couldn't believe they decided, let's put him in for a couple snaps. That's crazy to me. And it turned out not to be crazy because it sets them up now for this moment. And I thought a couple days ago when this Lane Taylor injury first popped up, I thought that this could be sort of a soft landing for a veteran that they were going to phase out. And you respect what Lane Taylor did for the organization. You know, he's played multiple positions. He's done a lot. And to get to this point, you don't want to just unceremoniously discard someone like that. That's tough. That's the personal side of this business. And Elgton Jenkins right now, I think, gives Green Bay the best chance to win long term. I felt like he outplayed Lane Taylor in week two. And I said this on the podcast earlier in the week. I felt like every snap he took, every snap and every rep he took, he won. And against a Vikings front that is legit, like legit. So this is something that I think, you know, people have to understand may take some time, but he is a really talented young player. And I think there are questions about what you do with Lane Taylor now. I'm already getting a ton of questions on Periscope about, well, now what? What do they do for Lane Taylor? What can they get for Lane Taylor? And I posited the potential for a trade with Houston, who needs offensive line help, maybe for someone like Kiki QT. Maybe if you throw in Jimmy Graham, the Texans do not have a tight end that scares anyone. Not that Jimmy Graham should, but someone like Bill O'Brien might feel like, hey, I know this guy's name, and I'm not a GM, and we don't have a GM, so I'm going to trade for Jimmy Graham and look at that. And maybe they could get someone like Will Fuller. Now, it's not that you have to train Lane Taylor. Lane Taylor is a good player. He is still good depth and absolutely brings value to this team. But my point in saying what could you get was to say if he's not going to play, if he's not going to start, then you know you have to weigh, do we have faith in the guys behind him to play if there's an injury? Because you have to think there's an injury. Brian Bulaga has been awesome through 2 weeks, but he's hurt a lot. And it was great insurance to have someone like Elgton Jenkins. If you need to go with Billy Turner at right tackle, you slide in Elgton Jenkins, and you've got five offensive linemen you feel good for. That is no longer the case if you lose Lane Taylor. Now, I do think this is the beginning of the end of Lane Taylor in Green Bay because he's in under contract under 2020. He is, but you can't probably won't pay a backup guard a couple million bucks. just probably won't do that if you're Green Bay. So that's fine. But it's the reality of the situation. So maybe if you're going to extract value, you have to decide where is most of that value, right? Is the value in having Lane Taylor as a backup, if he's going to be the backup long-term? And I think this now, I mean, this is over. Elgton Jenkins is the starting left guard for the Green Bay Packers now. I'm pretty confident in saying that because I think Elgton Jenkins is going to play well this week. But is the value of having Lane Taylor as a backup greater than what you could get for him in return on the trade market? And that's something we don't have an answer to. So it depends on what's out there. Now, that's not the only thing that's in the injury report that's important. Jimmy Graham is going to play. And Matt LaFleur said he looked good. I don't know what else to tell you about that. There is some breaking news that is related to what I'm about to talk about with the receivers. Antonio Brown was cut by the Patriots. And the answer is just no. No, 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 no. And then once I've thought about it a little bit more, it's still definitely no. And I don't think anyone should want him around this team, not with the chemistry and the energy on it. It's just a no. It's just a no. So, no. But there is something that I don't think was discussed a lot this week, and that was Jake Kumerow didn't play on Wednesday. Didn't practice. Now, that was a walkthrough, but he still didn't practice, and then was limited Thursday and Friday. Darius Shepherd was also limited all week, but the expectation, and the coaching staff has said this, is that Darius Shepherd is going to be a returner, probably the punt returner. So if he is limited all week but is a core special teams player, then he's going to play. And that means that Jake Kumerow might not be playing, might not, or might not be as big a factor as you might think in another week because you have Darius Shepherd on the field. I'm really excited. I know a lot of Packer fans are really excited to see Darius Shepherd, what he can be, what he can do. And he gives them, the Packers, a different kind of look, a different kind of opportunity to do something different with the offense versus the players that they already have. He is a different kind of player than Marquez Valdez-Scantling, than Devontae Adams, than Geronimo Allison. So I wonder if that means that the opportunities for Shepherd are going to be essentially immediate. I don't think that's out of the question. I'm going to get to some of the questions from you guys a little bit later. But the Broncos have a couple injuries worth talking about. It looks like Todd Davis is going to make his NFL debut. Well, not his NFL debut, his season debut this week. He practiced, but is officially listed as questionable. Bryce Callahan, a lot less clear whether or not he is going to be able to play this week. He is still dealing with a foot injury. Even if he can play, this is an enormous week for the receivers. One of those questions is about that later in the show, so I don't want to step on that too much, but this is a defense that can be taken advantage of, and the Bears couldn't do it because, I don't know if you guys know this, but Mitch Trubisky, not very good at football. So Aaron Rodgers, a little bit better at football, I think. Maybe some people on Twitter disagree. It's really, you know, we all make choices and they choose to be wrong. Before I move on, I want to tell you guys about my bookie. Game-winning touchdowns on two-minute drives, running backs racing down the sidelines with no one to stop them. There's nothing else like it in the NFL, and there's no better way to make the games even more exciting than to bet on them. Do the right thing and go to mybookie.ag. No one gives you more ways to win than they do. Don't forget, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on, and mybookie.ag is the best in the business. Right now, my listeners can double their first deposit bonus with the promo code Locked On. Go to mybookie.ag and use the promo code Locked On to activate the offer. Because at MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. All right, we're going to get to your questions. I have some queued up here, but you guys have questions on Periscope too, which we will get to in a little bit. Let's start here. Hey, Peter, what's up? Just signed up for your newsletter. If you haven't done that, go do it. And now I'm down to only you across all media outlets. No pressure. There was a lot of talk on Facebook about the fullback before the season, and the muscle man looked locked and loaded. What's your take on why we haven't seen him so far, Paul, in Charleston, South Carolina? I'm a little bit shocked, by the way, about this. I know that Packer fans love the fullback. They care. They love the fullback. But I'm surprised we haven't seen more of that kind of traditional personnel with the play action stuff. I think there was an opportunity for them to really use that to their advantage and be effective with it, because I think being an offense that can throw from heavy personnel is so much of an advantage in the modern NFL. Being able to run from light personnel, three receiver, four receiver sets, and being able to throw from big personnel. This is what the Patriots do. This is what the Saints do. There are so many good offenses that are able to do this. It's what Kyle Shanahan does. I thought we would see more of Danny Vitale, who was a big part of the passing game in training camp. So why we've not seen that as much is a little bit weird to me. And I think it's something that maybe we'll see a little bit more of moving forward. Hey, Peter, who would you want to see less of going forward? Lane Taylor, Jimmy Graham, or Geronimo Allison? I'd go Graham just slightly ahead of Taylor. He's useless in this offense. Chris from California. So this is one of those things where this is already sort of taking care of itself. The Lane Taylor thing, injuries. He's already gone. He's probably not going to be on the field anymore. And I've been on record saying I think this offense would actually work better if Jimmy Graham were not really playing. Some third down, some red zone stuff, maybe. But Robert Tonyan, my guy Big Bob, is just a better fit for this offense. He can actually block a little, even though he's just an effort blocker. Jimmy Graham, they have to account for Graham's deficiencies on every play. And that's a problem. If you want the offense to run smoothly, if you want it to run the way that they want it to run, Jimmy Graham just really can't be on the field. And that's why I think if you're going to create some of these fake trades to maximize the Packers, you put Jimmy Graham in them, because Jimmy Graham, just what is his value at this point? And I don't know if there is any downgrade from Big Bob from Jimmy Graham. Is there? I mean, is Tonyan a materially worse pass catcher right now than Jimmy Graham? I mean, Jimmy Graham can't run receiver routes. This is the problem. It's not like you can just play him as a big slot. He's just not agile enough anymore. He's not athletic enough anymore to do that. And so this is one of those problems that the Packers have to face. They're invested in him heavily. But is that cost? Should you view that as just a sunk cost? To me, that's what you do. You say, okay, this is a sunk cost. It's done. We've paid the money. And so you can't worry about that. Now you have to do what's best for the team. Doesn't mean don't play him, but it's just one of those things where I just don't, I think the offense would work better if he were not on the team, or at least not playing very much. I mean, that I don't think that's that hot a take, right? This is from Twitter, from Mariano Croce. I wanted to call him Croce, but I asked him and it's actually Croce. Croce. What up, Peter? Love the recent guests you've had on LOP. Do you think Harris makes an impact on Devontae? I don't think so, which is what he's saying. But if so, I feel like this is the game would be for MVS's chances to shine. Thoughts. Always appreciate you, bro. Thanks. All right. So here's the thing. I was talking to Mike Clay from ESPN about this yesterday. And on 17 routes as an outside receiver, Chris Harris covered Allen Robinson on 15 of them. And he didn't go with him in the slot. So on 15 of 17 outside routes, but 15 of 20 routes overall, if my math is decent on that, then Chris Harris was on Allen Robinson. Chris Harris is going to shadow Devontae Adams. The question isn't, is the shadow coming? It's coming. The question is, does it matter? And I don't think it does. I think Devontae Adams is matchup proof at this point. Xavier Rhodes one-on-one couldn't do it. Darius Slay one-on-one couldn't do it. And if those guys can't do it, Chris Harris, I mean, all due respect to Chris Harris. Chris Harris is awesome. He's one of the best cornerbacks in the league still. He can't cover Devontae one-on-one. But the rest of the secondary isn't very good. I mean, when you look at the guys in the group, it's just, I mean, I have never heard of some of the players. Legit, have never heard of some of these players. So someone like MVS, yeah, he should cook those dudes. Geronimo Allison should be able to get open and be productive. If Jake Kumerow can play, he should be able to get out there and be productive. Can Darius Shepherd, if he goes out there, can he be productive against this group of cornerbacks? Yeah, he should. He really should. And that is an opportunity for these receivers. It's an opportunity for them to show out. And they need to show out because there's still a pecking order here. It's Devontae Adams and everyone else, but we don't have much to say beyond that. We don't have much to say in terms of who are these other players. Now, if you look at the traditional metrics, you look at them and you see the Broncos have a decent passing defense. But by DVOA, defenses, passing defense especially, is not great. It's really not. 26th against the pass, 24th overall. Because they played Derek Carr and Mitch Trubisky, the numbers look a little bit nicer. Mitch Trubisky, through 2 weeks, still has not thrown a touchdown pass. Think about that for a second. Still has not thrown a touchdown pass in 2 weeks. Two decent defenses. Packers defense is really good. But it's one of those things where you would expect more from someone like Mitch Trubisky, and he couldn't do it. So, you know, this Denver defense has not been tested, and yet they've come out with two losses. It's just one of those things. This is not the no-fly zone. And they're headed up to Lambeau this week to face the snow-fly zone, which, get on board with the name, everyone, please. And it should be a problem for this Denver defense because Von Miller and Bradley Chubb, they have not been able to get home. And if your two best players are your pass rushers and you're not getting home, then, you know, your defense is not going to work the way you need it to. And speaking of Chubb not working the way you need it to, guys, let's talk about BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits, no waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Go to BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free with our promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay shipping. BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it free. All right, last pre-picked question. Hey, Peter, what's happening?
Hello, Peter. What's happening?
Carl from Aberdeen. Vic Fangio has seemed to always have Rodgers' number when he was in San Francisco and Chicago. Now that we have Coach LaFleur, do you find out if he had Rodgers' number or if it was Coach McCarthy's? So this is a great stat via Jake Marley. In the last six meetings against a Vic Fangio-led defense, the Packers have averaged 358.1 yards and 26.3 points. Does he have Aaron Rodgers' number if that's the deal? Because it doesn't seem like it. Doesn't seem like it. Now, you may recall what happened in week one last year. You may recall coming back from a first half disaster on one leg and winning a football game against Vic Fangio's defense. I don't know if you guys know this, but Khalil Mack ain't walking through that door. So this is an opportunity, I think, for Aaron Rodgers to put any of those questions behind him. I don't know that we need to even ask them, but you go back to those San Francisco defenses, they really did give Aaron Rodgers problems. Justin Smith and Aldon Smith are on those teams. Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman. I mean, those defenses were really, really good. This defense is not really, really good. So that puts Green Bay, I mean, that gives them the opportunity to score. That could have been our Bluetooth transition too, but it wasn't. And so, you know, if there is an advantage that Vic Fangio has having seen Aaron Rodgers, I think that could come to pass in this game and give him some sort of institutional advantage. But I don't know that it really helps anything that's going on. Joe Flacco not helping them either, of course. But, you know, the defense is not the same. You have to have the horses. Defense is so much about personnel, and we're finding that out this season. I mean, Mike Patton was a really good coach last year, but if you don't have the guys, If you don't have the guys, you can't do the thing. This year he has the guys and they're able to do the thing. So, I mean, the personnel matters so much. And when your best players are not playing well, I mean, to have no sacks through 2 weeks for Bradley Chubb and Von Miller, that's crazy. It's crazy. But that's the reality. That's the defense that Vic Fangio has to come to Green Bay with. And I think you're going to see an offense that looks a little bit more like Matt LaFleur wants it to look after what we saw last week. I think it's going to be a general progression in that way. We didn't see really anything of Matt LaFleur in week one. And then we saw a little bit more in week two. I think we'll see more in week three and week four. That's just the natural evolution of all of this. And it's something that I think everyone has to be patient with. But this is an opportunity, another opportunity for the Packers to take that next step against a defense that hasn't been strong. And I think it sets up strength for strength, because the strength of Denver, theoretically, personnel-wise, is on the edges. Well, Green Bay's offensive line, best on the edges. Denver has one really good corner. Green Bay has one really good receiver. So from that standpoint, the matchup, there's a lot of congruency there when the Packers have the ball. The difference is this year, Green Bay, when the defense is on the field, has a significant advantage. A significant advantage. The defensive front for Green Bay has an advantage against the offensive line. The secondary for Green Bay has an advantage against the receivers. And Joe Flacco is still the quarterback of Denver. So I'm going to take some Periscope questions. This is from Tyler. Do you think EQ can have a little impact once he comes back? All right, so EQ on IR, gone for the season. Cannot come back. Once he comes back next year, yeah, I think there's still reasons to be optimistic about what he can give this offense. I think long term he has the potential to be a receiver two, maybe a receiver three, big slot. I was disappointed that they put him on IR right away, because I felt like he was someone that this team needed. They needed his offense, his ability to push the ball down the field, his speed, his size. I don't know why he felt like he was, or I felt like he was always, you know, his role was subverted beyond what I thought it should be. This is from Kumaro Squad. Who's playing the nickel dime linebacker? Well, those are theoretically different positions, but you know, the Packers were able to play big last week because of the way the Vikings want to play. And I don't think they're going to be able to play that way this week. I think Denver is going to spread them out a little bit more. I think they're going to be more in, you know, what we would call nickel personnel anyway. So Blake Martinez, you have your outside linebackers. The Packers use five-man fronts a lot anyway. So you have, you know, three down linemen, two linebackers on the outside, and then you play with nickel personnel behind it. That would be my guess of how they're going to play most of this game. I would think what we would see is you would have your three corners, Tremont Williams, Jair, and Kevin King. You have Blake Martinez. Now, Montrevious Adams doubtful in this game. So could this be a week where we see a lot more Za'Darius Smith as a defensive lineman? We see Rashawn Gary a lot more as a defensive lineman. I think we could. I think that's something they could break out. Kingsley Keke could be that guy. Tyler Lancaster, after playing really well in stretches last year, was not great against Minnesota. This is an opportunity for some of those guys potentially, but I would guess we're going to see more Za'Darius Smith with his hand in the dirt inside. I think we would see Rashawn Gary more there, which I think would be great. And, you know, I don't think they're going to worry about the dime linebacker spot anymore, really. I mean, I think this is the way that they're going to continue to play, at least until Oren Burks gets back, and we'll see what happens with him. I don't know if this is, you know, something where Fadal Brown can come in and play or not. I think Kingsley Keke is a better player, but I was never really a Fadal Brown guy. I don't have strong takes on it, though. So this has been really fun. It worked this time, which I'm very grateful for. This is something we are going to keep doing every Friday to make sure everyone is as up to date as possible in the minute to what's going on with the Green Bay Packers. So you go find me on Periscope and add me there. Get ready. This is happy hour some places, right? Some people are done with work. Hopefully, that would be great if you are. And follow me on Twitter. Obviously do that. Peter_Bukowski. That's probably how you found this, but maybe not. Maybe it was because Jess retweeted me, which is great. Thanks, Jess. Follow the podcast on Twitter @LockedOnPackers. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, on Spotify, on Google Podcasts. Wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers. And anytime you want to hit us up, some people on Periscope were asking about where they can submit these questions ahead of time. Twitter is one, Facebook is one, but anytime you want to hit us up on the Locked On Packers fan hotline, you can do that, 920-341-3775 to stay Locked On Packers.